This morning, we thank God for a fresh infusion of His Spirit, and thank you, Dean, for those prophetic words. If you have your Bible, why don't you turn to the book of Ephesians 5 and verse number 15. Ephesians 5 and 15. Ephesians 5 and verse number 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Let's say it together, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Let's say it one more time, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Yeah, that's what we're going to talk about this morning, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Then we can, the same text is in Colossians 4 and verses 5. Colossians 4 and verse number 5. Right. It says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. Colossians 4 and verse number 5, and Ephesians 5 and verse number 15. Brothers and sisters, time is the one a resource that is common to all of us. Every one of us has time, equal amount of time. Whether you're male or female, whether you're black or white, or blue, yellow, whatever, I'm blue. If you notice, right. So it just doesn't really matter. If you're rich or poor, you're slim or not slim. This morning, actually, I put my pants on. I realized I've lost weight. I hope you're keeping the 40 days of transformation, right? You're reading the Bible. More than anything else, we have to go back and read the Word. I want us to pray, meditate on Christ, seek Him. And when we are passionate about Christ, everything else fades away. All the stuff in the world fades away. Earthly desires fade away. When we feed our faith, we starve earthly passion. So I hope that you are following the meditation for every day. Have you been reading? Has it been helping you? Yes? No? Yes. Yes. If you don't have one, please call the office or speak to Midge. Midge would give you we've taken time to print all of the stuff out, and so I trust that you would redeem the time. Go over that, right? So, great. So, time is the one commodity that is equally distributed to all of humanity. Every person on the planet. There are about 7.5 billion people right now living on the planet. Every 7.5 billion, every person on the planet, irrespective of race, color, creed, has equal amount of time. We have 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week, 365 days in a year, 60 seconds make up a minute, 60 minutes make up an hour, and we all have that equal distribution of time. The scriptures are very clear that we must redeem the time. We must redeem the time. There is no time to play. There's no time to waste. Our time must never be wasted, because time wasted can never be regained. You cannot waste time and think you'll catch up again. No, time wasted can never be regained. Like, it's different from all other commodities. Once your time is wasted, you cannot get it back. You know, some people, when they have done they've stayed awake for longer than normal, they say they're catching up on their sleep. you cannot ever catch up on your sleep. Say you studied for 18 hours in a day and you slept less, and then you went and wrote something, and then you said, no, now for another, I'm sleeping, I normally sleep 8 hours, I just slept another 12 hours. I was just catching up. No, you cannot. Once it's wasted, once it's gone, once time is gone, it's always behind you. You're not going to get it back. So the scriptures are clear that we must redeem the time. Now, the understanding of redeeming the time is to make the most of the time given to us, of the time allotted to us. Make the most of it. Make it productive. Make it count. Make it worthwhile for Christ. Make it worthwhile for Christ. Make it count, because there's only one life we live, and it will soon be past. Only what is done for Christ will last. So make the time count. Make the most of the time. So let me go through this particular text with you quickly. And I trust this morning that it'll help all of us. The particular word that is used in both Ephesians 5:15, Colossians 4:5, is used 4 times in the New Testament. It's also used in the book of Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, and Galatians chapter 4, verse number 5. The particular word, redeem, the word redeem means, it's a very nice Greek word. The Greek word is exagorazo. Exagorazo. Hey, it looks nice. Doesn't it look nice? Exagorazo. So, that word is made up of 2 words. The word ex means to come out of, or from out of. Ex means out of, or to come out of, to bring out of. So it's out of, from out of, right? Out from. And the word agorazo means to purchase, to buy out of. Everybody's okay? To buy out of. It is a marketplace word. It's a word, it's an economic term. It's a commercial, the background would be a commercial transaction. Buy out of. To purchase out of. The background to the word, if you lived in Roman times, and the Romans were like the Arabs, masters at slavery. They were the ultimate slave owners. So when you bought a slave, slaves used to be in the market. You know, like how you go and buy at Bangladesh, you go buy potatoes. You just don't buy any potato, because we know what you are looking for. You are looking for UTD, gravy soakers, and whatever. So you go there, you feel the potato. I remember when I was little, as a little boy, I used to go with my mom to the market in Durban, take the bus, we have a basket. You remember the basket? You have a basket, you'll go there. My mother will, every week she do the same thing. You have to feel the potato, feel it. Then you, by observation, you know these potatoes are good. You purchase, you buy it, you put it in your bag, you take it home. So, slaves were also bought like that. You're bought from the market and you were taken home. You were redeemed from being nothing. You were redeemed. You were bought. Exa garazzo. You were taken out from just being a nobody. Now you were in somebody's house. You become something when somebody purchases you, takes you out of the slave market. So, this is the background to it. In Galatians, I told you it's four times mentioned. Redeemed is used, this word, agarazzo, is used, exagarazzo, is used four times in the New Testament. It's used in Galatians 3:13. It says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, from the slavery of the law. Christ redeemed us. He purchased us. He took us out. He brought us out from the slavery to the law. In Galatians 4:5, it says, so that he might redeem those who are under the law, that he might redeem those. The same word redeem, purchased out. It's a transaction. You're taken out of slavery. Taken from slavery, out from the redeem those who are under the law. So, Christ, he has redeemed us out of the market of slavery, out of a bad situation, out of a oppressive system, out of a system that was going nowhere. Out of Christ has redeemed us out of the marketplace of hell. And now he translates us. We've moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his light, his son. So there's a redeeming process, a purchasing process, and it costs. Redemption always costs. To redeem always costs you something. Say redemption costs. It costs. You pay a price for it. And the Father paid the ultimate price because it cost his son, the only begotten son, Jesus Christ. It cost him his body because his body was broken and his blood was shed. How many of you excited shout amen this morning? His body was broken. His blood was shed. Why? Because of us. Because of us. The Father loved us so much. He did not want us to stay in the marketplace in slavery. He sent his son. Paid the price. Cost him his blood. Cost him his body. And therefore we can worship him. We can praise him. We have no reason not to worship him. We have no reason not to be thankful to him. Because we weren't bought with the body of some bull or some goat or some bird. We weren't bought with some the blood of some goat or some dove. We were bought with the holy body of Jesus Christ. His blood, the blood that flows from Emmanuel's veins. Holy blood. Once and for all done on Calvary. We have been moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his son, the kingdom of light. Somebody shout light. You know, light is different from darkness. Light cannot compare to darkness because light is all powerful. When light comes, darkness leaves. When light comes, darkness just leaves. And so this is the power of light. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Jesus also says that we are the light of the world. How many of you excited? Say amen. All right. So, I talked to you about redeem. The backdrop to this Greek word is mentioned four times in the New Testament. exagorazo is to be removed, to be purchased out of slavery, and from a bad situation, from a hellish situation, from a negative situation. And it costs, it always costs when you're doing a purchase. It always costs. Somebody say cost. Then the Bible says we must redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. That word time is the word, there are various words for time. The common word we know is chronos. We have we use the word chronology. You know chronology? 1, 2, 3, 4. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, next week. Chronology. The book has chapters. Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. But that is chronos. This thing that you use is called, the old word for is, do you know what the old word for watch is? Chronometer, right? Okay? So it tracks the time. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. Okay, right. So it goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. It's chronos. But that word there, time, that is used in the Bible and in these particular texts is the word kairos. A kairos is different from chronos. Kairos is not about seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, years. Kairos is not about calendar time. Kairos is not about your watch time. Kairos is not about clocks. Kairos is not... Kairos is specific measurement. It's about a quantitative time. Chronos is about quantitative specific measurement of time. So it's about calendars, watches, clocks, weeks, months, years, seconds, and hours and days. But kairos, what is kairos? Kairos is opportune time. Kairos is appropriate time. Kairos is, from Ecclesiastes, he makes all things beautiful in its time. Kairos. Kairos is about appointed time. Kairos is about proper time. Kairos is qualitative time. Kairos is a window of time, a window of opportunity. Kairos is divine time. When God breaks into Chronos, it's Kairos. Are you listening to me? When God, the heavens, come down into the earth, when the heavens invade the earth, Kairos is coming into Chronos. Are you listening to me this morning? Kairos is opportunity time. Kairos is when you say, time to take a break. It's opportune, right? Time to take a break. Harvest time is Kairos time because the plants can't harvest by itself. It needs somebody to check the season and come and do the harvesting. Are you listening to me this morning? If you are, somebody say yes. This is Kairos time. Kairos time is the ability to purchase out of slavery fleeting opportunities that we are presented with. Making the most of every opportunity. Making the most of every opportunity. Why do we have this imagery of being purchased out of slavery? Why the word redeem? Paul could have used the word seize the time. Paul could have said, utilize the time. But Paul uses a particular word, very specific. He says, redeem the time. Exagorazo, redeem the time. Why did Paul use redeem the time? Paul answers his own question. He answers that question. He says, redeem the time. Why? Because the days are evil. Paul looked around him, and it was evil around him. What he saw around him was evil. Just like if we take time to look around us, what do we see? Evil. Switch on your TV. Evil. Hear the news going around. Evil. Read some mail. It's evil. The world is full of evil today, like it was in St. Paul's day. We see greed around us. We see idolatry around us. We see impurity. We see immorality. We see unethical behavior patterns. We see pride. We see the sin of hubris. The first sin that was committed, hubris, pride. When you think you are smarter than everybody else, when you think you can do it on your own, when you think you are better than God or you want to be equal to God, when you think you are holier than everybody else, you are in the sin of hubris. And that's what we see around us. We see violence. We see darkness. We see murder. Just like what Paul saw. If Paul looked around him, the Roman Empire was, you know, a very majestic empire. It was powerful. The Roman military is legendary. Wherever the Roman Empire marched into and placed its flag and its insignia, you know, you had no way of defeating the Roman Empire. They thought they will live forever. They'll rule the whole world. The Caesars thought that they were never going to be defeated. The Caesars assumed divinity. They thought they were gods. But within the empire, there was large-scale immorality. And any civilization which opens the door to immorality will always fail. You'll die a terrible death. The Roman Empire was filled with sexual impurity. The large-scale homosexuality. There was large-scale pedophiles all over the empire. This thing, you know, where you have homosexuality and pedophilia, this kind of combination, that society, that family, or that nation has only one way to go. It'll always go down. And so when Paul looked around him, he saw all of this impurity. He saw all of this darkness. He saw all of this evil. And he said, redeem the time. We must buy the opportunity out of the marketplace of slavery. Because the days are evil. Somebody say, the days are evil. Brothers and sisters, I want to say to you, we live in a day of evil. It's like a tug of war. See, it's like a tug of war. Are you listening to me? It's like a tug of war. Listen, there's Kairos this side, opportunities. And there's evil on the other side. And they both are pulling at each other. Evil pulling at Kairos. And Kairos trying to pull at the evil. Who will win? Which side would finally get the better? Brothers and sisters, I want to say to you this morning, We can't go with the flow of contemporary culture or contemporary thinking. We cannot allow ourselves to bow down to what popular thought and philosophy says. We cannot buy into that. You cannot buy, you cannot read a magazine and take your cue for living from that magazine. You can't watch a TV series and take your cue from the TV series. You can't listen to the government of the day because the government of the day is also not God. We honor our governments. We honor those who are in authority. But we don't take the cue for living from them. Are you listening to me this morning? We cannot watch the movies and take our cue from the movies, whether it's Hollywood, Bollywood, whatever would. You cannot take your cue from there. Why? Because the days are evil. These things are full, permeated with inaccuracies and with evil. We cannot go with the flow of contemporary culture, whatever that culture. Because if we do, we'll live wasted lives. We'll have wasted time. Paul says, redeem the time because the days are evil. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know that sin, the sin nature is our default position. But the good news of life is this. Somebody shout good news. Jesus Christ redeems us. He came to redeem. He gives us the resources to redeem opportunities from the marketplace of slavery. The good news is Jesus gives us the resources to redeem opportunities from the marketplace of slavery. The good news is that through Him, we can see these opportunities. The good news is that through Him, we can act on those opportunities. The good news is that evil days don't stand a chance with Christ working through us. Because we are redeeming the time, the days are evil. Are you listening? The good news is evil does not stand a chance when Christ is working through us to redeem the time. Are you listening, brothers and sisters? The good news is that evil does not stand the chance when Christ is in us, working through us to redeem the time. The good news is that evil does not stand any chance when Christ is in us, working through us to redeem the time. Because the opportunities are there. We go and take the opportunities and rescue people, rescue systems out of the marketplace of slavery. Some areas that we have to redeem the time, and I'll be quick. We have to understand that we have called to have dominion and subdue the earth. Dominion is not over other human beings. Dominion is over the earth. Are you listening to me this morning? When we have dominion over the earth and subdue it, we redeem the time. Are you listening? Are you listening to me? When we have dominion over this earth, all the systems of this planet, and we subdue it to our Christ, we redeem the time. Dominion is never over people. We're not called to rule over people, to subjugate people. We're called to rule over the earth. That means all the systems and all of the patterns of this planet, all of the kingdoms, must submit to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have to make Him King and Lord over everything, wherever we are, whatever sphere of society we are, whether we're in business, whether we're in some arts, whether we're in government, in politics, whether we are playing soccer, the rule of Christ must come into play. Everybody's okay? So when we have dominion and subdue the earth, we redeem the time. We redeem the time when we share the good news to the nations of our planet. Brothers and sisters, there is a command. The command has not left us as yet. The command is that we must baptize all nations. Say all nations. All nations. But we have, the church has a way of trivializing and minimizing and domesticating eternal global objectives of our Lord. So we reduce that and we bring it down to saving one person. Listen, the one person is very important to God. Every one person is precious in God's sight. I am precious to Him. You are precious to Him. If you're excited and know that you are precious to God, somebody say yes. Yes, every one person is important. Every one person is precious. Every one person is priceless. You are priceless to our Father. But the command, the commission, is to baptize nations. Are you listening? Read Matthew 28 very carefully. We baptize nations into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Nations. So when we reach nations, we are redeeming the time. Brothers and sisters, we redeem the time when we share the good news of Christ with our family, our neighbors, our friends, our acquaintances, our work colleagues, those we travel with in the car, the fella that we meet when we go to the petrol station. You know, you have to meet somebody at the petrol station every week or however you fill a petrol. And generally, we always fill at the same garage regularly, right? I don't know about you. I go up the road there at the garage, and they all know me. They have a lot of new people now. But generally, the fellas know me, and they call me by the registration of my previous car. They all know me by the registration of my previous car. So it is, I don't know, it's a strange thing, those fellas that are left now. But you'll meet the person that fills petrol. That person is precious, priceless to our God. And we have to share the good news of salvation, the good news of the kingdom with that person. You go regularly to certain places, your hairdresser, the person that does your beautician. These people, we redeem the time when we share the good news of Christ with those that don't know Him. There are many sons still to come to glory. They are outside of the faith. And we redeem the time when we share good news with them. I wonder if you are sharing good news with those that are around you. By the way you talk, by the way you are courteous, that is redeeming the time. When you say thank you, when you say please, when people realize that you are different from other people, that you are gracious, you carry something, you carry a weight inside of you, a weight of glory. You're almost diplomatic. They say there's something different about you. The way you are courteous, even when they do wrong things, you're courteous with them. You have the ability to negotiate your way out of that tough situation. You're not raising your voice and screaming and being rude because you're representing Christ. You are His representative and you're gracious. We redeem the time. And so we have to redeem the time. Share the good news of Jesus Christ to every person we meet. Friends, family, neighbors, people at work, at the shop, or wherever. We redeem the time by representing Christ well every day, at home, at work, at play. Brothers and sisters, do people at your work know that you are a follower of Jesus Christ? Have you ever shared that, you know, your own personal story? Because we all have a personal story. We all have a personal journey, how we came to know Christ. And He's done so much for us, for every one of us. Christ has done something for us. No one can say Christ has done nothing. No, he has done something. The very fact that he has redeemed us from sin, from the slavery of sin, from hell, that is something. That is something worth shouting about. That is worth something talking about. He's given you a home. He's given you a marriage. He's given you children. He's given you food to eat this morning. He's given you life. He is worth everything. And so we have to shout it out. We have to share that, represent him well, wherever we are, whatever we are doing. Brothers and sisters, we redeem the time when we have the mind of Christ. I want you to say, we have the mind of Christ. And you can't have the mind of Christ alone. Paul says, we have the mind of Christ. We. Somebody say, we. We have the mind of Christ. That is why it's important to be a part of a community of faith. Because you cannot have the mind of Christ by yourself. It's not I have the mind of Christ. It's we have the mind of Christ. When I is hidden in we, then at that point we are redeeming the time. If we say I have the mind of Christ, it's okay. But when we have the mind of Christ, you are redeeming the time. You are redeeming the time. Brothers and sisters, we redeem the time when we protect the body of Christ, the church, the family of God. We redeem the time. We have to protect the body of Christ. Don't allow the body of Christ to be beaten up. Would you allow your wife to be beaten up and then you just look at everybody and say, go ahead, hit her one more time? No, you won't do that. Why? Because your wife is worthy, priceless, precious. So you'll come to her rescue. You won't allow your child, somebody in the road, to just go beat your child up. No. How many of you allow that? You won't allow any teacher to beat your child up. You won't allow other children in school to beat your child up. Why? Because child is precious, priceless, and worthy. The church is priceless. The church is precious. More than anything else. And we are the church. And so we have to protect the church. We have to protect the body of Christ. We have to protect each other. We have to value each other. We have to recognize the value in each other. By doing so, we redeem the time. We redeem the time when we defend our father in the gates of the city. Are you listening? Sons defend their father in the gates of the city. So we are biological fathers. We defend our father. We don't allow any hurt to come to our father. We don't allow any hurt to come to our mother. Why? Because even before the hurt, the arrow comes, you take the arrow away. Are you listening? So it doesn't poison them. It doesn't hurt them. It doesn't bring shame to them. It doesn't embarrass them. So we protect our parents. The Bible says, honor your father and mother. Why? When you honor your father and mother, what happens? Your days on the earth are long. It doesn't really matter who your father and mother is. Your father and mother could be drunkards. They could be bad examples as parents. Your father and mother may not be followers of Christ. It doesn't really matter. As long as they're your mother and father. Are you listening to me? You protect them. When you do that, you redeem the time. Come on, if you're excited, somebody say amen. Amen. When you do that, you redeem the time. Listen, you have a spiritual father. You have to defend your spiritual father, spiritual authority, in the gates of the city. Don't wait for it to come home. No, you find it there, you squash it. You stop the arrow from coming, because when you do so, you redeem the time. You redeem the time. How many of you have excited? Somebody say yes. Yes. All right, you redeem the time when you are extravagant with your worship and your love for God, your love for your neighbors, love for your family, love for God's word and love for his church, you redeem the time. Do you have an extravagant love for God? We all need to have an extravagant love for God. We are passionate about him. He's our Father. We are passionate about our family. We speak well about our family, our biological family. We speak well about our spiritual family. Don't ever speak any other way about your family. Would you like me to diss your family? Yes, no. I'll say these Josephs, they are totally useless men. That Mr. Joseph, he can't use a coat and come to church. Why doesn't he use a tie? Mrs. Joseph, she can't even comb her hair. No, we don't talk like that. Because we are wasting time. We need to redeem the time. Are you listening? When you talk about your wife, you talk well about your wife. When you see other people, talk well about your wife. When you talk about your children, talk well about them. When you talk about other people's children, talk well about them. When so doing, we redeem the time. Are you listening to me this morning? We have to learn to redeem the time. Why? The days are evil. The days are evil. Would you want to go back into the slavery of evil, of darkness and hell? No ways. God has purchased us with the blood of his only son. It's holy blood. Are you listening? So, we must be passionate about God. Passionate about, extravagantly passionate of our love for God. The Bible says we must love God, love our neighbor as ourselves. Listen, love your neighbor. Your neighbor may be nasty. You know, some of us have neighbors from hell. You know, it's bad. They do funny things there. They send the dog into your yard to eat your food, your dog's food. They like tell their dog, go next door. We can't afford it. Go next door, eat their dog, eat food. They also send the dog. It's amazing. These dogs, they won't mess. They won't poo in their garden. They'll come and poo in your garden. And also, you know, if it's a small poo, it's okay. But they'll poo everywhere. It's bad. And it's amazing. Some people, they have the ability, you know, they won't take the dirt out, leave it in the front for the garbage people to come. They'll throw their dirt into your house, your property. Listen, love your neighbors. No matter what they do to you, love them in return. They can be neighbors from hell or whatever. See, once you say neighbors from hell, you can't love them. Right? Pastor Kotso, speaking to you. That's what you said the other week. Yeah, I remember. Pastor Kotso said he had a neighbor from hell. See, once you say neighbor from hell, you can't love him anymore. Because he's from hell. You've demonized him. Now that you've demonized him, how are you going to love him? It's very difficult. You'll be lying to yourself if you say you're going to love him. So you have to stop demonizing you, because you have to redeem the time. Because that neighbor, God loves that neighbor just like he loved you. God sent his son to die for your neighbor like he sent his son to die for you. And your neighbor is worthy to God, priceless and precious to him, just like you are. And so we have to redeem the time. Love our neighbors. Love God extravagantly. Love our neighbors as ourselves. Love our family. Love God's family. Love the church. We love the church. We don't speak evil about the church. Don't listen to any person who speaks evil about the church. Don't allow your body that was purchased with holy blood to become a rubbish dump of somebody else's toxic poison. Your ears mustn't be a garbage can for everything that goes around on the planet. That is why we have to reduce stories about murder and killing. Don't allow our children to listen to that stories. Put the TV off. Don't allow abuse to come into our ears, because the more you listen to that thing, the more you are fed by that news, you become what you eat. Are you listening to me this morning? If you live in murder all the time, you become murderous. You become desensitized when a senseless act takes place. You know, last week, the school that I went to, Southlands High, this lady, I don't know her, but she's a legend. I only heard about her. She is a disciplinarian, and, you know, I think when she walked, when she entered the school, they've started to vibrate. It did a lot of good for that school, Southlands High. It put them on the map. Now in Chatsworth, Southlands High, the school that I went to, is the most sought out of school. People travel kilometers just to get into that school. That lady, Mrs. G. Pillay, it's Darcy who comes to church, Darcy's first cousin. That lady was brutally murdered. The state people, they were selling their house, and somebody came there. Obviously, they knew them. And these people, it's gruesome. It's brutal. But listen, if you continue to feed on that thing, you become desensitized to awful, distasteful, disgusting stuff like murder. Because you heard it too often, you thrive on it. Did you hear about this? And then we all talk about, show the pictures. Somebody said they want to send me the pictures. I said, thank you, do me a favor. I don't want to see it because I don't want to be desensitized. That is why you shouldn't be watching those violent movies, because it'll desensitize you. How can you watch things? People's heads are being cut off. This blood is flowing here. And you say, so nice, so nice, so nice. It cannot be. You're desensitized. We are getting desensitized. And we have to redeem the time because the days are evil. That is evil. So you have to watch. When it says 2 to 18, you don't watch it also, even though you are 21. Because it already says it's going to be, it's got V. That means people's heads, hands, there'll be blood, there'll be shooting. I mean, how many times can you shoot one person? And you're watching it, you're enjoying it, saying, what a lovely movie. No, you have to redeem the time. Are you listening to me this morning? You have to redeem the time. How can you allow people to watch rape? How can you listen? How can you listen to these things? You have to cut it off. Redeem the time. The days are evil. How can you keep watching adultery? Listen, how can you glorify adultery? How can you watch a TV program, that fellow is adulterous, he's adulterous today. That same program is tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's the same adultery going on, and you're watching it, you're beaming the spirits of adultery into your house. You're spewing it over your children. You are, because what you sow, you reap. Redeem the time. The days are evil. Am I making sense? Or I'm just talking to myself? Listen, you have to redeem the time. The days are evil. You cannot watch adulterous programs and think it's good. No, it doesn't glorify Christ. It won't do anything for you or your children, because then what we'll eventually do, we'll be desensitized to adultery. When it happens within us, we'll just keep quiet. Oh, well, what can we do? No, what can we do? It's because you're desensitized. You don't understand anymore. The lines are being blurred. Morality is not an issue for you anymore. Are you listening this morning? Are you listening? So, we have to redeem the time. We have to redeem the time. We have to redeem the time by asking God to give us wisdom, knowledge, understanding, prophetic capacity. Are you listening? When we do that, we redeem the time. I want you to know this morning, every one of us seated here has prophetic capacity. Adam was created with prophetic capacity. Adam is our father. He was created with prophetic capacity. Eve was created with prophetic capacity. They are the templates for all of humankind. And you have prophetic capacity. When you redeem the time, when you activate that capacity, when you increase that capacity, you indeed redeem the time. Are you listening this morning? Don't think, you know, we have an opinion that prophetic capacity is reserved for certain people only. No, it's for all of us. It's for the whole church, young and old, male and female. We all can prophesy when we come into greater wisdom. And you know what the Bible says? If you ask for wisdom, God will do what? He'll give it. He'll give it in abundance. He'll give it generously. He'll say, how much do you want? And he'll just pour it over us. Are you listening? Are you asking for wisdom? Or you just think, you know, you got matric, or you went to school, you went to university, all these things are good. But you need more than you need more than school wisdom. You need more than earthly wisdom. You need heavenly wisdom. God's wisdom. Ask for it. Ask for his knowledge. Ask for his understanding. Ask for him to give you prophetic ability, capacity to discern the times. Because when you discern the times, it's that word times is the same word kairos. You see opportunities to redeem people and systems out of the slavery, out of the marketplace of slavery into the kingdom of God. And when you do that, you redeem the time. Are you listening? You need every person, all parents need to have prophetic understanding and discernment so that when your children come home, you can speak over them. You can see ahead. You must be able to see beyond the wall. Your children only can see in front of the wall. You can see behind the wall. God has given you a prophetic edge, prophetic understanding, prophetic insight. He's increasing your prophetic capacity. When you do that, you redeem the time. Are you listening? Are you listening this morning? You redeem the time. We have to redeem the time through our honest livelihood. You have a job. You have a career. You have a profession. Through that, whatever God has given, wherever you are, what level it is, redeem the time through that job because it's an opportunity given to you. We have to redeem the time with greater prayer and self-examination. You know, the Bible says whenever we come to communion, we examine yourself. We have to have greater critical examination of ourselves because the scriptures are clear. Don't worry about the log in your brother's eye. See, I said what? The Bible says log. Log is like this. No, actually what the Bible says, don't worry about the dust in your brother's eye when you have a log in your eye. You know what I mean? See, the log is big like this, right? Your brother has one small dust. You are more concerned about the dust in your brother's eye. You got a big log blinding you. You can't see that he has a dust. You got this big log. Redeem the time. Greater intensity of prayer. Say, Jesus, make me more like you. I bring myself. I have my own weaknesses. I have my own faults. I have my own failures. And all of us do. None of us are exempt. You know, we're not perfect. There's only one righteous. Only God is righteous. And so we have greater self-examination, greater intensity of prayer. You say, Lord, make me more like you. Take the logs out of my life. And the Lord will help you to see clearly that your brother has a spot of dust. Are you listening? Are you listening this morning? So, we redeem the time when we do the will of God according to his word. Do the will of God wherever you are. The will of God is the best place to be. We redeem the time. We redeem the time when we discipline our thoughts, our speech, and our behavior and our actions. We redeem the time when we represent Christ well to each other. because we are his body. We are the body of Christ. We have to represent Christ well to each other. See, Christ dwells in you. Christ also dwells in me. Same Christ. Everybody's okay? I want to say, Christ dwells in me. And point to your neighbor, Christ, say, Christ dwells in you. Right, Christ dwells in you. So, we must represent each other well because Christ dwells in all of us. Speak well of your brother or your sister because Christ, the same Christ that dwells in you, is in them. So, how is Christ bringing down your brother? How the Christ in you is bringing down the Christ in somebody else? That is impossible. It can't coexist. So we have to speak well of each other, and then thereby we redeem the time. We redeem the time when we eat today's manna rather than yesterday's manna. Are you listening? When we continuously come into a new place of relationship with Christ. God is doing new things all the time. It's a new day every day. And today's manna is for today's. In the wilderness, they couldn't eat yesterday's manna because yesterday's manna will be rotten. It will be smelly. Why are you worried about last season's things? Eat today, freshly baked from the heavenly bakery. Are you listening? Have you ever gone past a bakery? Just go past a bakery. My God, the wheat just inside of you longs, say, go eat some more wheat. It just calls, it calls you by name. Ronald, have a nice pastry today. Thick cream. Brothers and sisters, eat fresh every day. God doesn't give stale stuff. Religion gives stale stuff. Churches may give stale stuff. Preachers may give stale stuff. But God gives fresh. Every day it's new. His mercy is what? New every morning. Just like fresh manna from the throne of grace. When we eat fresh manna, we redeem the time. We redeem the time when we provide solutions and not create problems. Brothers and sisters, be a solution person wherever you are. You are in the job there. You don't be the one that's in office politics. Don't get involved in office politics. It'll corrupt you. Because evil will come. You stay out of that politics. Serve your boss well. Serve your manager well. Serve your company well. Let it be known right through the nation, the continent of Africa, and wherever your company is globally, that you love your company and you work there. You give more than 100% to that company. Don't let them say, ooh, that one Ronald, that fella, the first chance we get of getting rid of him. He is first on the list. They know globally, at the head office also, in France, that you are going first. You don't know. Then when the chips are down, because you weren't redeeming the time in your company, they allowed you to stay in the marketplace of slavery. When the opportunity came, they left you there, and they moved on. We have to redeem the time, because the days are evil. Bring solutions to your company. Don't bring problems. Because we are called to be builders. The Bible says, Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. Paul says, we are workers together with Christ. We are laborers together. We are co-laborers. Christ is building, we are building. Are you listening to me this morning? We are builders. Say, we are builders. We are builders. Come on, are you not saying it properly? Say, we are builders. We are builders. We are builders. Say, we provide solutions. We provide solutions. When we build and we provide solutions, we redeem the time. We redeem the time when we make peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. Are you listening to me? We redeem the time when we make peace. Listen, our families, we have all kinds of things in families, at work, with our neighbors, and everywhere else. Because we have human issues. We have misunderstandings. We have you know, this one said this, and the other one said that, and the other one said this one, then the whole everything is become an issue. We must become peacemakers. When you see a problem, make peace. You be the peacemaker. Are you listening to me this morning? Become the peacemaker. Don't become the troublemaker. Don't be known in your company, in your house, in your family for causing trouble. Say, oh, that one. When we just go to our house, we hear all the gossip. Old months, old years gossip, they're langing. You know? There's an Indian term, langada. Langing. Yeah. Because hot air is coming out. See, we redeem the time when we are peacemakers. Because peacemakers are the sons of God. Redeem the time. We redeem the time when we think, speak, and act in faith, hope, and love. Are you listening to me? When we act, when we think, speak, and act, our behavior is faith, hope, and love. We redeem the time. There's just a few things to be careful about, and I'll be closed. One. The stuff that can disqualify us, derail us, distract us, and get us down. Be careful of the following things. One, pride. It always goes before a fall. It'll waste your time. When you fall, it'll waste your time. Be careful. Always see friends help friends. Family help family. Children, you will help our children. We help our brothers and sisters. When you see storm clouds coming, you tell, if you know Hurricane Irma is coming to your area, you have to leave. You warn your brothers and sisters. You don't say, let the hurricane come, let it demolish all of y'all. Let God's judgment come on y'all. No, that is not the way you act. It'll waste the time. Pride always goes before a fall. Don't be self-righteous. Don't adopt a pharisaical position. You know what it is when you are self-righteous? Me, I am perfect. Y'all are guilty. Me, I am holy. Y'all are unholy. There is no such thing. We all are righteous in Christ. So we don't point fingers at other people. We don't accuse other people. We don't condemn other people. We waste time. Don't waste time. Don't be judgmental. Don't bring condemnation. Don't attack the anointed of the Lord. Listen, people abuse that text. They think only the man of God is the anointed of the Lord. Every one of us is the anointed of the Lord. Are you listening to me? Say, I am the anointed of the Lord. Or say it like this. Say, we are the anointed of the Lord. You see, so if you are the anointed of the Lord, why are you attacking other people? Don't attack the anointed of the Lord. You'll pay a price for it. Don't ever cross the line. Because judgment will come from God Himself. You'll see heartache and pain like you've never dreamed about. You'll see your life will become a nightmare. Because you're assuming God's position. Only God can judge. Nobody else can. But we are wasting time. Don't gossip. Don't slander other people. Don't use any facility to gossip or to slander because you're wasting time. Brothers and sisters, don't allow pleasure and amusement to consume all of your life because you're wasting time. Are you listening? Not that we shouldn't play, it's not that we, you know, some people are so holy they can't even play cards, they won't even kick a ball on a Sunday. But they'll watch adulterous things the whole week. See, you must not be legalistic, but don't waste all of your time. Don't use all of your times for pleasure and amusement, because you'll be wasting time. And we cannot waste time because the days are evil. Don't be consumed by the media, books, newspapers, magazines, movies, TVs, radio, CDs, MP3s, DVDs, and social networking and the internet. Don't be consumed by all of these things because you'll be wasting time. Redeem the time, the days are evil. Don't adopt a holier-than-thou attitude, because when you do so, you're wasting time. The days are evil. We cannot pontificate. We cannot make ourselves holier than everybody else. You're just wasting time. Don't pursue vain ambitions. In the end, we'll find out it was not worth it. It had no value, and we live in regret. You know, people, I've been at deathbeds for the last 33 years. I've seen people die. And every person that died left all their ambitions behind them. Every person that died left all of their earthly goods behind them. Some people die with regret. I've seen people die cruel deaths because they didn't live well. They didn't redeem the time. They wasted the time in the wrong things, pursuing the wrong things. And when they die, you know, there's no peace. But I've also seen people die. Like there's aura of peace of them, presence of God. Even though they're struggling in pain and sickness, peace. Listen, brothers and sisters, vain ambitions. Sometimes it ends with nothing. 3 points further. Don't waste your time in dissipation. That means unnecessary parties, unnecessary revelry, overindulgence in sensory pleasures, decadence, debauchery, excess, no moderation, squandering all of your resources that God has given you. Don't do that because you're wasting your time. Redeem the time because the days are evil. Don't waste your time with unbiblical vision and plans, because if you pursue it, you're not redeeming the time. You're wasting the time because the days are evil. Finally, don't waste your time with luxurious indulgences, overdressing, overeating, overspending, over motor vehicling, and overhousing. Are you listening? Listen, how many cars are you going to have? Can you have 8 cars? It's ridiculous. You can't have 8 cars. Okay, you brought the a Ferrari. Well, why are you going to buy 10 more Ferraris? Just to prove that you have money. Now, can't you take the money, invest it for your children? Send them to a good school. Send them to a good for good education. Can't you give something? Your brother is also suffering. Can't you share the resources with your brother? Why are you consuming it on yourself? I'm talking about overindulgence. I'm not saying don't live well. Dress well. If you can afford to buy, a designer clothes, then use the designer clothes. But not overindulgence. Are you listening to me? If you can drive a Ferrari, great. We'll be happy if you drive the Ferrari. I'll be excited one day when I see Ferraris and Lamborghinis come drive up this place. I'll be excited. Because I realize that something good is happening. And it's welcome. How many of you excited say yes? But not overindulgence. Overindulgence is wasting time. We have to redeem the time because the days are evil. Now, why did you build a 20-bedroom house? There's only 3 of y'all in the house. Did you understand? The 20-bedroom house means nothing. One day, you're just going to regret, hey, we don't want to put the lights on. Because it costs us lots of money. More water. Are you listening? Live well. Live well. If you have gold-plated taps and, imported Italian furniture and, the basin and the shower, you have his and hers. Listen, live well. Live the best that the earth can give you, but not overindulgence. Just a waste of time. Are you listening? Redeem the time because the days are evil. The days are evil. Redeem the time. Spend well, but no, don't overindulge. Eat well. Eat good food. You know, I like good food also. You know, whenever you're going to the Bukhara, take me and go. You understand? I'd love to eat with you. But don't overindulge. Don't waste Don't waste. Redeem the time, because the days are evil. Sometimes we get consumed by all of this. We have no time for other people. We have no time for our own family. We don't know what's going on in our own houses, because we are more concerned about the things. We forgot about people. People matter. How many of you agree with me? People matter. Your family matters. Your wife matters. Your husband matters. Your children matter. Spend time with them. Invest in them. Give your best to the best that God has given you. Your family. Start at home. Charity begins at home. Start there. Give it there. When you come to church, give your best in church. We are a part of a community of faith. Give nothing but your best. Yeah, don't give second best. Because we have to redeem the time. The days are evil. Everybody's okay? You okay this morning? Bless you. I am so glad that you made time to be in the house of the Lord. Happy Heritage Day. Redeem the time. Today you can have the braai. Tomorrow is fasting. Okay. All right. So enjoy the day. We live in a very multicultured nation. Never be a racist. Are you listening to me? Never be a racist. Respect other cultures, other traditions, other languages, or whatever. Learn about other people and respect them. Don't be caught up in your own world. You know, if you're Indian, you're Indian. I'm glad I'm an Indian. But you know, I'm not an Indian, because I'm a son of the Most High God. Are you listening? While you look at me, you see, hey, he's an Indian, huh? He's a dark-looking South Indian. But listen, above that, I'm a son of God. So we are all sons of God. And so when you are sons of God, you are secure in who you are. You're secure in your identity. When you see other people, you celebrate them. No matter where they come from, you're just excited because they're human beings. Everybody's okay? So let's build a great nation. South Africa is one of the greatest nations on earth. I tell my friends from all over the world, I always tell them, I joke with them, particularly Americans. You know, Americans are big talking. I say America is the greatest nation on earth. They are like, wow. Yeah, they want to say yes. I say, after South Africa. All right. So God bless you. Have a great day. Enjoy your day. Have a great lunch. Stick with your family. Talk to your family at least at lunchtime. You know, communicate and enjoy the day. It's Heritage Day in our country. Redeem the time, because the days are evil. Right? I want you to raise your hands towards heaven. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for grace. We thank you for forgiveness. We thank you for your word. Your word brings more grace to us. And so, Lord, to every person in this congregation, present and those on a holiday and those away, we ask for much grace, much peace, much love. Let your love surround them. Father, help all of us redeem the time, because the days are evil. Help us not to waste any minute in any day. Help us not to waste any opportunity that we get. Help us to live in the kairos of God. Help us to eat fresh manna every day. Help us to have a sense of newness every day. Help us not to live in regret. Help us not to live in bitterness. Help us not to live in unforgiveness. Help us to walk in the freedom where Christ sets us free. And we thank you for that. So be with us. We declare the threefold blessings of God our Father, Christ our Savior, and the blessed, comforting, caring, compassionate Holy Spirit. Be with all of us, and we declare shalom, peace from God our Father to all of us. Amen.